Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the new Lombardi Ave Packers News and Views podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be discussing everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining us on the podcast this morning is our guest regular, and he happens to also produce the show, is site editor from LombardiAv.com, Raymond T. Rivard. Also joining us on the show to lend us his expertise and thoughts and opinions on the Green Bay Packers is Patrick Hughes, a fellow staff writer at LombardiAv.com. And, Patrick, are you calling us from up in Oregon? You're, what, 2 hours behind us, huh?
Yeah, I'm a couple hours behind you out in Portland, Oregon. Still dark here.
Well, you were a guest off and on the podcast last year. Thank you for committing to be more of a semi-regular for this season. We certainly enjoyed having you and look forward to your thoughts as well this season. Just want to talk briefly about the last game. We want to put it behind us. It's been 8 days ago, so we can talk about the current news of the Green Bay Packers. But as everybody knows, they kind of laid an egg in Seattle. But it's only just one game out of 16. The Giants 1 year recently started 1-6, finished 9-7, and made the playoffs. So all is well in Packer land. They just need to tweak some things. So this week, some of the current news that I'd like to talk about here on the News and Views podcast, Patrick, your thoughts on Corey Linsley and his first start in that Seattle game, and what can we look forward in game two against another elite defensive line of the New York Jets?
Well, I was really impressed with Corey Linsley. I thought he did a good job in a very difficult environment, you know, given the crowd noise and the you know, the matchup that he had with the overpowering Seattle defensive line. I thought he did a really good job. I mean, as good as you could hope for. I like Corey Linsley. I wouldn't be surprised if J.C. Treader has a hard time getting back in the lineup when he when he does get healthy. So I feel really good about Corey Linsley.
Well, it just seems like every highlight, every replay you see of Corey Linsley, he's knocking some 330-pounder. He's wrestling him, and he gets that guy on his back on the ground. He's just a bull in there. And him being a pure center from Ohio State, certainly, I mean, J.C. Treader's never even played center in a game. And
yeah.
He was a tackle, left tackle in the Ivy League. Treader scored higher than him on the Wonderlic test. Did better measurables. So I'm very confident myself in Corey Linsley. I think he's going to keep the job. But either way, it's nice to know when Treader does get back that, you know, you got more depth there. But the first half of the season, you got Garth Gerhardt back there, which I'm glad they picked up when they put Treader on IR. So at least the center position is covered in the short term. And then why don't you give us the latest update, Patrick, before we get to Ray. Why don't you give us the health update on Eddie Lacy, Brian Bulaga, and Brian Bostic?
So it sounds like Eddie Lacy has a chance to play this coming weekend. I don't think he practiced yesterday. However, Mike McCarthy indicated that he looks like he could pass the concussion protocol. Bostic and Bulaga both practiced yesterday in limited fashion, but they I don't think they've been given the green light necessarily. Today they have a padded practice, and that will be a big indicator as to whether or not they're going to be ready to go on Sunday. Bostic, it'd be nice to have him back, but to be honest with you, I, you know, coming off a broken leg, I, I'd hate to see them rush him out there. It's a long season. Not to take the Jets lightly. We're 0-1, so we're in no position to overlook anyone. But if Bostic could use another week, I think they should give him another week. Same goes for Bulaga. I say that with a little bit of hesitancy, given that Derek Sherrod was a bit of a swinging door in Seattle. You know, the coaches say he played well and just had a couple bad plays, but he doesn't give you a lot of confidence. If Bulaga can get back out there, if he truly is healthy, that would be a great addition. So I guess today will be a good benchmark as to whether or not all three of them will be coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like with Brian Bulaga, you know, if he doesn't go, as you say, you got Derek Sherrod, and you know, we always look at that injury, and goodness gracious, we should. It was a horrific injury. On the flip side, that was in 2011. Here we are in 2014. We can no longer use that as the reason for shoddy play. If that's the reason, then he's never going to get healed up. We're all hopeful that that was just knocking the rust off, and now that he's going to be on a grass field outdoors, he should perform better. But we definitely need to see Derek Sherrod display that first-round pedigree that Ted Thompson saw in him when he drafted him. He has yet to do that. And let's hope he does. We're all pulling for him. And that is if Brian Bulaga is unable to go. And then, Ray Rivard, I got to talk with you because you and I argued this point for point last week, and I think even the week before. We were talking about the young pass catchers. You were taking the pro side. I was taking the kind of on the iffy side, and I'm thinking that inexperienced pass-catching core of tight ends and wide receivers played a part in some of that confused inaccuracy of Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts on that, Ray?
Well, I think you're probably right. I think also playing into that was it seemed like, and they haven't really come out and said yes or no on this, but I think those guys were more like sacrificial lambs last week against the Seahawks. They put them all over on the right side where Sherman was, and they weren't going to go that way anyway, so they, you know, I think a lot of times they were lined up against him. You had Boykin against him. I think even Devontae Adams got in for a few plays. At one time, he was even covering Andrew Corliss. So the inexperience of those guys in this game were kind of put on the side by Mike McCarthy. I think he used that inexperience and just put him out on the field so that he could get Jordy Nelson and try to get Randall Cobb open. And try to make some plays that way. But, I think you're right. You know, the inexperience probably played a heck of a big role in it, especially, you know, playing against that defense. Good God. They're swarming. And I think you're right, Davey. Inexperience certainly played into it, and hopefully the experience that they got against the world champions will help them down the road.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the inexperience I am talking about here on the Lombardi Ave Packers News and Views podcast with Raymond T. Rivard and Patrick Hughes from up in Oregon. We're talking about the 9 pass catchers of the Green Bay Packers. 3 of them are rookies, 2 wide receivers, and Richard Rodgers as a tight end. Bostic's injured. That leaves you 5. Jared Boykins and Ryan Taylor, minimal experience. Boykins played 3/4 of a year last year. So that's 6 out of your 9 pass catchers with little to no experience. And then, of course, Andrew Corliss, Randall Cobb, and Jordy Nelson. So a little thin on experience, long on talent, hopefully. We all think so. It looks to be like that. But certainly inexperience may have been a factor in improper route running against the Seahawks. And then, gentlemen, I want to ask both of you because, you know, I think this has been a topic other than safety people have been screaming for years. Now that they seem to have shored up that position, all eyes are on Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk, and particularly, guys, and Patrick, I'm going to talk to you about this first. Brad Jones, what a horrendous night the other night by Brad Jones. Moving forward, your thoughts.
Well, I heard yesterday that Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk were last and second to last in inside linebacker play in week one. And that didn't surprise me at all because Brad Jones was, it was very obvious he had a bad game. I think it's time for the Brad Jones experiment to come to an end. He just doesn't get the job done. Misses tackles. The whole team misses tackles, but Brad Jones missed three last week, missed an interception, had a couple of costly penalties, one that brought back a Clay Matthews sack. My personal opinion is it's time to start working Sam Barrington into the lineup and Jamari Lattimore. But Barrington kind of like. He's got good size, seems to have a little nasty, wants to get up there and hit and stop the run. But, yeah, the inside linebacker going forward is going to have to be a position of need when it comes to drafting. We're really depleted on talent at that position. The Packers are, you know, my concern for this team going into the season was going to be a little soft up the middle, and that was proven week one. And with going against a Jets running game this coming week, that could very well expose us again. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, they put Brad Jones back out there. Hopefully he took some notes and makes some improvement over last week's performance.
Yeah, and then when you couple the play of the inside linebackers with the fact that they dropped about 30 pounds per man along that defensive front when they led Johnny Jolly, the injury to B.J. Raji, and, of course, Ryan Pickett, all weighed over 330 pounds, and LaTroy Guyon's 315, Dayton Jones is 285, 290, and Mike Daniels is 304. So, but what I will notice about that defense, and this is a positive, is I saw a faster defense than I saw last season. Now, Ray, what are your thoughts? What should the Packers do short term? Should they just ride Brad Jones in particular? I would do something with Brad Jones before I did something with A.J. Hawk. That's just me. But what would you do if you were the coach or the decision maker for this week's game at middle or at inside linebacker? What would you do, Ray?
Well, you know, first of all, I was shocked. I was shocked last spring that Ted Thompson didn't address this position. You know, if there was yes, safety.
He was too busy addressing safety. Everyone was clamoring safety.
I know that.
He did safety. He can't
and
win.
He did do that. But his next task, in my opinion, should have been that inside linebacker position. Everybody knew last year that, you know, A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones weren't the answer. And now here we are again this year with the same situation we were faced with last year at safety. They're just not getting the job done. And you know, with the smaller, like you said, with the smaller guys in front of them, they lost B.J. Raji. Now, you know, they're in a world of hurt at that position. And if I were coach, what I would do, you got to bring the next guy up, whether it's Lattimore or Barrington. I like them both. I think they both offer much more as far as, you know, it seems like they have a little more, a faster motor than Brad Jones does. And I think, you know, just the fact that they haven't played, that they'll, yeah, they've got some inexperience issues, but, you know, they'll show a little more. At least they'll, you know, stick their nose in there on tackles and not bounce off like Brad Jones did last year.
Yeah, Carl Bradford would do that as well. Not that he's going to jump over Lattimore or Barrington, but he may be a better option than Brad Jones.
Right.
But, yeah, that linebacking situation, certainly they've stuck with those guys through thick and thin, and they really have to take a look at that and maybe look at, like you said, the depth. I don't know. We liked Lattimore last year. Don't know as much about Barrington, but they seem to be high on him. But they need to do something there. Those two penalties were costly, big play penalties. Had to be brought back because of those on Brad Jones, and he just was not sharp at all. So now let's go to the New York Jets game, guys. And, the Jets, I said, are the real deal. Everybody was saying in the preseason that they're really not, but goodness gracious. They picked up Chris Johnson. They signed Eric Decker. They got Wilkerson and Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sean Richardson, along that front line. They picked up Calvin Pryor, Jace Amaros, the tight end, the rookie, the second-rated tight end behind Eric Ebron in last year's draft. You remember him, Ray. And I don't know, Rex Ryan is coach. They're a cocky bunch. I mean, here, Pete Carroll and those guys were cocky. Now here comes the New York Jets trying to get under Ha-Ha Clinton Dix's skin. Your thoughts on the game coming up, Patrick?
Well, I think the Jets are not a team that the Packers can take lightly. And as I mentioned before, they're in no position to put themselves on any kind of pedestal above the Jets. The Packers got to prove themselves. So I would like to see the offense come out and perform like it's expected to, and I'd like to see the defense be able to stop the run. So those are the two things that I'm going to be looking for. I think the Packers are more than capable of beating the Jets. I think they can get some pressure on Geno Smith, and it's at home. So it should be a game that we can win, but I would really be disappointed if the Packers came in and approach it like a game that they can just line up and walk away with a victory. The Jets are one of those teams that could be a sneaker team and just find a way to claw some victories, and we don't want that to be at our expense.
Of course, they have Geno Smith and Mike Vick at the quarterback position. Geno Smith played well in spots, but it also seems like he's susceptible to turnovers, a couple of interceptions and a couple of fumbles. I think at least one was lost. He's athletic. He's a young, developing quarterback. He's certainly not a finished product at this point. Got a good running game. I can't remember their second running back, but he's a stud as well. Strong
Chris
offensive
Ivory.
Line.
Chris Ivory.
Yeah. What's that?
Chris Ivory.
Chris Ivory.
Yeah.
Chris Ivory, you betcha. So that's a nice 1-2 punch. Is Eddie Lacy going to be healthy? I'll tell you what, his next concussion is going to be his third one in a short period of time. And, well, you just start kind of worrying about that. As far as handling the physicalness of football, he certainly can. But when you start getting your bell rung every half a season, they're going to sit you for a while until they make sure that you're right. So let's hope that that don't happen, and let's hope that Eddie Lacy is full goal this weekend against the New York Jets. Guys, I wanted to talk about, because Rex Ryan had brought up his guy in Pryor, Calvin Pryor, the Louisville slugger that knocked out three guys in a row in three games in a row. last season in college against Clinton Dix, the Alabama purebred that played in a system, understands the game mentally. It's very athletic. Let's do a comparison of the two. In Calvin Pryor, Ray, why don't you take Calvin Pryor? And Patrick, why don't you take Clinton Dix? And let's talk about those two safeties for a moment.
Well, yeah. Pryor, you know, coming into the draft, everybody thought that the Packers had a really good chance of selecting him. He's a really strong. He's strong against the run. He puts the helmet on guys. He's a good player, no question about it. Jets got a good pickup. I think the Packers have to be aware of him, not only him, but that whole defense on the New York Jets side. Their front seven is phenomenal. And Pryor is going to play a big part in that, not only Sunday, but in the future going forward. So, they got a good player there. Whether he's better than Clinton Dix, you know, time will tell. I think they're two different types of players. Clinton Dix is more heady, it seems like, maybe a little quicker. I'll let Patrick address Clinton Dix. But I think, yeah, they got a hell of a player there. It's into their defense well. So Packers are certainly going to have to keep his number to the forefront when they play him Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And before, Patrick, you give us your thoughts on Clinton Dix, let me go back to the linebackers briefly. And I kind of think that because Ted Thompson knew what he had in Sean Richardson, Chris Banjo for that matter, and Micah Hyde, that if Ryan Shazier or C.J. Mosley would have been there, the top two inside linebackers in the draft, I believe if one of those two would have been there and Dix and Pryor would have been there, Thompson, my guess would have been he would have chose one of those inside linebackers. So you can't blame Thompson in that regard either. So moving on to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Patrick, won't you tell us what you've seen thus far in the Packers' number one draft pick?
Yeah, I like Ha-Ha. I think he's gonna be a good player. He had some mistakes last week. He missed a couple tackles. The one that everyone saw going for a touchdown, and then missed an interception. But the biggest difference between Ha-Ha and the situation we had last year with MD Jennings and McMillan for some time was those guys wouldn't have been in position to miss tackles or miss interception last year. They would have been nowhere on the TV screen. So Ha-Ha at least has upgraded the position by being in a position to miss a tackle and miss an interception. I think he's someone that is dedicated to refining his craft. He wants to be a football player. He wants to be a success. And I think the Packers system is a good one for him. I think we got a lot of good years with Ha-Ha going forward. He's a rookie. He's going to have some growing pains, and I think they understand that, and that's why they got Micah Hyde back there with them. Him and Kelvin, as Ray said, him and Kelvin Pryor are a little bit different player. I think Ha-Ha is going to be more of a better all-around player, where Pryor is going to be, he's going to be a headbuster. And because of that, you know, he's going to knock out a few guys, but he might be a guy that winds up knocking out himself as well. And in today's
game,
he's
already done that.
Yeah. So in today's game, that's a detriment. So I think, you know, for the Jets defense, Pryor is probably just fine. For the Packers defense, I think we got the right player for our scheme.
Yeah.
Well, what I have seen so far in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is the only word that I can that comes to my mind when I think of him is a Cadillac. I really think he's the real deal. I seen him in preseason. You guys had to have seen this. When he goes to the sideline, how he gets there so fast. That's part of that increased speed that I'm talking about on defense. he gets sideline to sideline as fast as anybody on the team. And once he's getting gotten there in the preseason, he has laid a couple of good licks on people. Yeah, he's missed a couple of tackles here and there. He's going to get that remedied. But I can see, like you said, plant that guy there for 6 to 8 years or however long and let him be your starting safety. And I think he's going to be a playmaker. I think not only can he be the strong safety, but he'd probably be interchangeable with Morgan Burnett, the last line of defense. I like him. He's smart. He's heady. He's a thoroughbred, comes from a high program. I like Clinton Dix, so I'm glad we have him. But had an inside linebacker been there, they probably would have taken him. Based on the play, look at Sean Richardson in the preseason. He had the hit of the preseason when he came across the middle and just nailed that guy in the side and knocked the ball loose. That's what you get from Sean Richardson. So I'm excited about our safeties. And to show you how deep we are, we had to cut Chris Banjo. So I think we're in good hands that way. Raymond, and then Patrick, why don't you give me your final thoughts? Give me your thoughts on how the game at Lambeau Field at 3:30 against the New York Jets is going to play out. And give me your scores if you want to, if you think it's too early for your Packer predictions, withhold on that. But at least, Ray, take about a minute. And then, Patrick, you take about a minute. Give me your thoughts on this Sunday's upcoming game.
Yeah, big game. Home opener at Lambeau. I think my gut feeling is that the Packers are going to do this year much like what they did last year against the Washington Redskins in their home opener. After losing at San Francisco last year, they came home and they just put a walloping on the Washington Redskins. I kind of have a feeling that this game is going to be like that. Might be tight for the first quarter, but I think Aaron Rodgers and company are going to finally see the light, open it up, and score some points. So my prediction for the game, I'm saying 42-14. Packers.
Holy moly. I'll tell you what, Ray's going big. Now we're hoping, of course, that he is going to be the 42 is going to be in the Packers' favor. But, well, Ray, we'd like to thank you for your thoughts and predictions and your analysis today. Ray's going to be a guest regular on our show for the second season in a row. And now Patrick Hughes up in Oregon, in Portland. Give us your final thoughts on take about a minute, and then I got to close this out on how the game's going to go and your final score.
Well, I hope Ray is right. That's the kind of game I want to watch. I, unfortunately, am not feeling that optimistic. I think the Packers are going to win, but I think they're going to make it close. I think it's going to be 24-17. I'm still not convinced that the defense is going to be as solid as we want. I think they're going to run on us a little bit, and I am hoping. I hope that the Packers offense, you know, puts it together. But that remains to be seen. So I'm going to take a little bit of a conservative approach and say it's more of an average scoring affair, and but the Packers coming out on top 24-17.
Yeah, that's the score I'm going to go with too, 24-17, the Packers. You know, it's on a grass field. It's at Lambeau Field. It's going to be outdoors in the elements. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be, but it's certainly gloomy. It's been raining for 3 days here in Wisconsin. It's 45 degrees this morning when I was out back at 5 in the morning taking my two puppies out to go potty. So had a sweatshirt on, and I was freezing. So it's getting to be that football weather here in good old Wisconsin. So definitely going to be a good game. I think the Packers' defense is going to continue to ascend. Well, the offense, I'm just not that confident in it with the lack of wide receiver experience that we have and tight end experience. Hopefully they come through. Eddie Lacy, his health is questionable. So a lot of question marks going into this game. We would like to thank you for listening to the Lombardi Ave Packers News and Views podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Davey Miller, and for our producer, Raymond T. Rivard, and guest staff writer, Patrick Hughes, see you next Tuesday and every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8:30 right here at LombardiAve.com. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day, everybody. Guys, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep, still here.
Patrick? Hey,
yep,
Patrick,
job,
are you going to be doing every Thursday now?
Yeah, I can do every Thursday.
Okay, you
That's
and Ray
great.
Every
yeah.
Thursday, and then I've got Kevin for every Tuesday and Mike. So,
okay.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Great show, everybody.
You bet.
All right, take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right, go back.
Okay,
go.
Bye.
Yeah, go back. Yep, bye.